words, taken directly from the mystical city of God by Venerable Mary of Agreda, Conception, paragraph 529, page 406. Our Lady tells us to imitate her in charity.
My daughter, if I desire in maternal affection that thou follow me and imitate me in all other virtues, then more especially do I make known and declare to thee my desire to see thee follow me in the virtue of charity, for this is the end and the crowning glory of all other virtues. I desire that thou exert thy utmost powers to copy in thy soul with the greatest perfection all that thou hast learned of my charity. Light up the lamp of thy faith and reason in order to find this dram of infinite value, and after thou hast found it, forget and despise all that is earthly and corruptible. In thy own mind consider again and again, ponder and take heed of the infinite reasons and causes that make God lovable above all other things. In order that thou mayest be sure that thou lovest him perfectly and truly, search within thyself for the following signs and effects of that love: whether thy thought and meditation dwell continually on God, whether his commands and counsels find in thee no repugnance or remissions or remissness, whether thou fearest to offend him, whether thou seekest immediately to appease him after having offended him, whether thou grievest to see him offended and rejoicest to see him served by all creatures, whether thou desirest and art delighted to speak continually of his love. See whether thou delightest in the memory of his presence, whether thou grievest at thy forgetfulness of him and at his absence from thee, whether thou lovest what he loves and abhorrest what he abhors, whether thou seekest to draw all men towards his friendship and grace, whether thou prayest with confidence. See whether thou receivest with gratitude his benefits, whether thou dost not waste them, but rather turnest them to good account for his honor and glory, whether thou strivest to extinguish in thyself all the movements of his passions, which retard thee or hinder thee in thy loving aspirations and in thy works of virtue. All these and many more are the signs of greater or less charity in the soul. When charity is ardent and strong, it will be especially careful not to suffer the forces of the soul to remain idle, nor to consent to any blemish, because it will immediately consume and wipe it out. It will not rest until it can taste the highest good of its love, for without it, this love droops, is wounded, and dies. It thirsts after that wine which inebriates the heart, causing a forgetfulness of all that is corruptible and passing. And as charity is the mother and the root of all virtue, its fecundity will immediately show itself as soon as it has found a place in the soul. It will fill it and adorn it with the habits of the other virtues, and engender them one after another by establishing the practice of them, as the Apostle says. The soul that is in charity not only feels the effects of charity in itself, but through charity it is secure of being loved by God. Through this divine love it enjoys the reciprocal effect of God's indwelling, so that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost will come and live in it as their temple. And this is a blessing which no words and no example can properly express in this mortal life. The right order of this virtue is to love God above all the creatures, then to love oneself and him who is nearest to oneself, namely, our neighbor. God must be loved with the whole understanding, without deceit, with the whole will, without reserve or division, with the whole mind, without forgetfulness, without diminution, without negligence or remissness. The motive of charity in loving God is none else than God himself, for he must be loved for his own sake, being the highest good and most perfect goodness and holiness. Loving God for such motives causes the creature to love itself and the neighbor and itself, for both belong to one and the same God, from whom they derive their origin, their life, and activity. He that loves God truly for himself will also love all that is of God, and all that in some way participates in his goodness. Therefore, charity looks upon the neighbor as a work and a participation of God, and makes no distinction between friend or enemy. Charity looks only upon that which is of God and which pertains to Him in others, no matter whether the neighbor is friendly or hostile, a benefactor or a persecutor. It attends only to the difference in the participation of the divine and infinite goodness, and according to this standard, it loves all in God and for God. All other kinds of love, such as loving creatures for less exalted motives, hoping for some kind of reward, advantage, or return, or loving them under cover of disorderly concupiscence, or with a mere human and natural love, even if it should spring from naturally virtuous and well-ordered motives, are not infused charity. As it is usual in men to be moved by these partial excellences, and for selfish and earthly ends, there are few who embrace and appreciate the nobility of this generous virtue, and who exercise it with proper perfection. For they seek even God and pursue Him for the sake of temporal blessings, or for spiritual benefits and pleasures. I desire that thou, my daughter, drive out of thy heart all these disorderly loves, and that thou live only in well-ordered charity, to which the Most High has inclined thy desires. If thou so many times reaffirmest that this virtue is so beautiful, so pleasing, and so worthy of being sought, and esteemed by all creatures, apply thyself to know it in its full excellence. And having come to understand its value, set thyself to purchase this incomparable gem, by forgetting and extinguishing in thy heart all love that is not the perfect love. Love no creatures except for God, and for what thou seest in them as coming from God and belonging to Him, in the same manner as a bride loves all the servants and connections of the house of her bridegroom because they are His. Forget to love anything not referable to God or not lovable on His account, nor love in any other way except I have asked thee, or the Most High has commanded thee to love. Thou wilt also know whether thou lovest with pure charity by thy behavior towards friends and enemies, the naturally agreeable and disagreeable, the polite and the impolite, those that possess or do not possess natural advantages. All this sort of distinction does not come from pure charity, but from the natural inclinations and passions of the appetites, which thou must govern, extinguish, and eradicate by means of this sublime virtue.